Indeed it does, and we thank you so much for being with us. The icon, the main event, the showstopper, Jason Ross. I am Damian Barling, 44-1140. If you want to jump in here, be a part of any of the conversations on the text line, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Thank you to everyone who participated in the first hour of the show. A spirited conversation regarding soccer and USA being eliminated from World Cup contention. And we spent a great deal of time trying to fix U.S. soccer. I don't know that we succeeded.
No.
But damn it, we're going to try. Every time there's a problem in the world of sports, we're going to try to fix it.
Ironically, if they would have won last night, you probably would have spent about 15 seconds on it.
It's probably accurate. True. It's probably accurate.
Maybe it was as much therapy for Chris.
I think it was.
Yeah.
He's smiling again. Chris went MIA on what, two different text threads yesterday? That never happens ever. Chris could be out somewhere doing God knows what, and that thread
usually without my knowledge.
But I sent a legit text. Hey, if Chris hadn't posted a picture of him wrapping up at the gym, I would have legitimately been concerned because you weren't responding to anything, and that was bothering me.
Yeah, that was a turn off your phone moment.
Yeah. Coming up this hour, Will Graves of the Associated Press covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was in a media scrum today with all of the Steelers, but the one that's getting attention is Big Ben Roethlisberger. We'll try to scrounge up those clips and play them for you. I think Will drew the ire of Big Ben today. And, you know, of course, he was asked about his comments on Sunday about, hey, maybe I don't have it anymore. And, of course, that, as is prone to do, the media takes the blame for all of this stuff. Here's Mike Tomlin talking about Ben Roethlisberger. See, we're overreacting. And that's true. We do overreact to stuff.
It's me. Yeah,
clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly. We get too into it. Ben Roethlisberger's radio show was yesterday. Here's what he had to say particularly about the remark that he made of maybe I don't have it anymore. And is he fully into this season? There's Big Ben.
Yeah,
he says he's in. He's all in.
All right, we'll see this week.
He is all in. I think you got the Pittsburgh Steelers in your one small thought. So let's get into that. We're going to cover the AFC as we do each and every week. J. Ross and I try to break down one little element of each team in each conference. Yesterday we covered the NFC. Today we will cover the AFC. And since I'm sure everybody has waited with bated breath on the AFC West, we'll save that for last.
Okay.
Why don't you lead us off?
All right. So I have the North and the East today for me in the AFC. And yesterday you started, I sensed a theme.
Yeah, a little bit.
You were kind of doing
just
a theme.
Just for fun, yeah.
So I went the theme route today.
Okay, all right. I'm excited. You kind of teased this before the show. I'm excited to see where this goes.
So maybe you'll help me out. Will you sing some of this? Because, you know, my affinity for Janet Jackson songs.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going all off of Janet Jackson songs is my theme.
I like it.
So Baltimore Ravens, I'll go with All Right.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
All right with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right with me.
Yeah, just all right. I mean, not sure what they are. Last week, impressive. Good win in Oakland. I mean, very good win. You won your first two. You lost the next two. You bounce back for this one. I feel like they're not terrible, not great. They're all right. Just all right.
Okay. That's pretty apt.
Yeah.
I guess. I'd rather them be terrible, but I guess all right works.
Another one of Janet's better songs to me, Cincinnati Bengals. One small thought for them. Miss you much.
Okay.
I miss you much, Andy Dalton, because Andy Dalton is back. Bengals fans, you see the last 2 weeks? The last two weeks, at least, where he's completing 70% of his passes for 300 yards a game. He's had 5 touchdowns overall. So we miss you much, Andy. Welcome back, Andy Dalton.
That's fine. I'll play along.
Okay. Cleveland Browns. This was a tough one, but I went I went on symbolism here, Black Cat.
Okay.
And that's
9 live short days, long nights, living on the edge, not afraid to die, because good Lord.
Yeah, perceived in many cultures it is bad luck, and that's what's going on. This team has no luck at all.
No.
They have none. They can't win. They have no appearance at a quarterback.
That'd be a good small thought for the Colts, too. Yes. You have no luck at all.
Yeah. What are the answers at quarterback? Like, you can be losing and then having some progress being made. Let's take the Bears, for example. We talked about them yesterday. All right, it's going to be a tough year. We get it. But they switched to Trubisky. There seems to be at least some hope there going forward. they're switching quarterbacks again. We're going to see a different starter. They don't know where they're going. Probably their future quarterbacks in college or on another team. It's just the cycle continues for the Cleveland Browns. And my last one in the
28, is that the number we're at? 28 quarterbacks since 1999. I wonder if we could, there's no way we could off the cuff if name all of them.
But I don't even know if I can get more than half.
Oh, yikes. Yeah. Holy, we'll save that for later. I don't even know that we have enough time in today's show to do that.
Yeah. And my last team in the AFC North, I know we're going to hear from Will Graves in a little bit about Pittsburgh, but this one, the one small thought, Janet Jackson style, nasty.
Okay.
But not in a good way. No. You know, sometimes that could be perceived in a good way. Just their attitudes right now. What we talked about earlier moments ago about Ben Roethlisberger, last week Antonio Brown. Now there's word that Le'Veon Bell wants the ball more. They have too much talent for them to have it derailed by egos going on in Pittsburgh. I don't know if it will be a thing going forward. The last 2 weeks, though, has been nasty.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's go to the AFC South then. I made the joke about the no luck at all for the Indianapolis Colts, but I went a different direction. There's no theme here with the exception of the Oakland Raiders, and we'll have that here in just a heartbeat. You're in the worst division in the NFL. You've got the Titans on Monday night. Who's looking forward to that one, by the way? You got Jacksonville coming up the week after that. If you split those games, you're headed into week 8 against Cincinnati. I think there's a possibility we're talking about Andrew Luck by then. Like, legitimately talking about Andrew Luck playing a football game. If you could somehow split these next two divisional games in a division that is just, at this point in time, it now lacks J.J. Watt. Obviously, Andrew Luck isn't there. If you could just split these next two games, you might be okay. You might get back. You might have been kept afloat, so to say, by Jacoby Brissett, and you have Andrew Luck coming back. I don't know that for sure, but just looking at the timetable, I'm thinking week eight with Cincinnati is an extreme possibility. The Houston Texans, Mr. Deshaun Watson. That boy good. Last two games have been net positives, despite the fact they're 1-1 in those two games. They're 2-3 to start the season. Now, you know, the defense, we know that they can perform without J.J. Watt. There has to be this, like, psychological understanding. He's not coming back. You know that. You're not waiting for him. You're not trying to stay afloat. It's not a situation like we just talked about with the Indianapolis Colts, where you're kind of trying to maintain a certain level of competitiveness until Andrew Luck comes back. You know J.J. Watt's not coming back. But you know you could perform without him because you had to do it last year. Offensively, though, you got to help Deshaun Watson a little bit more. He's got great wide receivers. Mm-hmm. He needs a little bit more from Lamar Miller, but that defense really has to step up and stop allowing so many points per game. And the Texans, I don't know who to pick in this division. I really don't, because we move on to the Jacksonville Jaguars. You want a theme? Here's a theme. Can you name this song with one small change of the words? The defense is a lonely child who's waiting by the park. The defense is a door to finding treasure in the dark.
I don't know that. I should, but I don't know it.
I don't know if I... The defense is a lonely child.
Got it. Duran Duran reflex. Got it.
15 turnovers.
Janet Jackson, I mean.
Yes, yeah. Janet Jackson, indeed. Duran Duran covered it. 15 turnovers, 10 interceptions, 5 games, 4 defensive touchdowns. That is your Jacksonville Jaguars defense. Tayshaun Gibson has 3 of those 10 interceptions. Calais Campbell has 6 sacks already on the year. It's hard not to believe this defense is real. And if they can just get something from that anemic offense, the defense is the best in the division, and I don't think it's close, including Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But Blake Bortles is still the quarterback of that team. And that's – defense wins championships, right? Well, it's going to be tough to win a championship if you can't win a regular season game when your offense is as bad as they are. The Tennessee Titans, they're going nowhere fast with Matt Castle. They might get nowhere in record time, like Usain Bolt fast with Matt Castle as the quarterback. The Titans had 188 offensive yards in their last game total, all 4 quarters, 188 yards. That is the lowest output since the 2013 season final. They averaged 3.2 yards per play and went 2 of 13 on third downs. They, a lot like the Jaguars have the tendency to do, they wasted a great performance by the defense because the defense only gave up 178 yards. Now, of course, that was against the Jay Cutler-led Miami Dolphins, and that's an entirely different conversation. But this is a conference made up of a lot of teams that are good defensively. You have one star quarterback who's actually playing right now. So many questions on offense, and then just kind of waiting the return of Andrew Luck. Just a really, really strange division right now, the AFC Southeast.
Yep. All right, next up for me, I've got the AFC North.
I'm excited. What do we got?
Some more Janet songs. More Janet, more in my theme. Buffalo Bills. My one small thought on the Buffalo Bills. What have you done for me lately?
Yes, indeed.
They're the one team in the division that lost this last week. They're the one. The only team, though, in the division, like I said, to lose, so that's why they get that song. The defense is still very strong. I like the defense, at what they're playing in Buffalo. They look to be better than the Dolphins. I think they're better than the Jets. The big leap. Can they become better than New England? Most people would say no. I think I still say no. New England still seems vulnerable. Buffalo has the defense to do it. I feel like the offense, though, is better than it's playing. I don't know where the receivers are, but between what Tyrod Taylor and even McCoy, I feel like they could do more. It's just not quite there offensively.
Tyrod Taylor, to me, is still a head-scratching quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he's not awful. He's not great. He just, just kind of there. But I feel like there's a little bit more from him. Yeah. Miami Dolphins, one small thought from them, Janet Jackson version, when I think of you. And when I think
of Jay Cutler,
I get uninspired.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just when are they going to make the switch? I know they're 2-2.
To what, Matt Moore?
Yes, they need to. It's not working offensively. I guess they're 2-2, and they could say,
More.
I feel like that would give fans. That is.
Is it?
No, it was Janet. That would give fans inspired, maybe the team inspired. I don't know. There's just nothing's inspiring at all about Jay Cutler. And I know he has potential to be a good quarterback at times. He also has potential to be a bad one, and I don't think we've seen a good version at all yet in
He's
Miami.
Frustrating, too.
Very.
Yeah. I feel bad for Dolphins fans.
I do, too.
Because, like, how do you – he's a really difficult guy to root for.
Yeah. That's it. That's the perfect way to say it about him.
Okay.
And I don't know how much better they – honestly, I was kind of in between on Tannehill. You know, and ideally that's who they wanted. That was their guy. He's out for the year. I don't know where they would be with him, but Jay Cutler's just – it's hard to get excited about him. My next one small thought, the New England Patriots. I'm going to go with Rhythm Nation.
Okay.
And the stretch here is they found something last week, and if they can find that rhythm, then it's trouble. It's trouble for everybody. In the AFC, we still think of what they could be. The 19-0 talk is long gone. But we still think they're really dangerous, if all is right. Now, we have to know that there's some things there to be on alert. Defense, though, was much better. Offense found their groove. And so if they find that rhythm, they are the most dangerous team, certainly in the division. And we've had enough of me kind of giving you song examples. So my last one, the New York Jets, I'm going to give an audio example. Maybe Janet's best song is my one small thought.
Not Janet.
Yeah, from Janet's best song that we haven't used yet.
Okay.
You got one in your mind?
Yes.
Okay, this is for the New York
Jets. It's not going to be a Janet Jackson song, is it? No. Yeah.
This isn't Janet?
No.
How will I know?
No, that's not. No.
That's, no?
No.
Wrong?
Nope. No, it's not Janet, Jason.
Should have gone to the audio.
Nope.
How will I know about the Jets? What is this team? 0-2, they look like a joke. We think they're tanking. Now they've won 3. How will I know what to think about the Jets?
That was well done.
There you go.
That was very good.
The Jets.
Jason.
Jets should. You know what the Jets should have? They should have
Pleasure
Jay Cutler.
Principle. Oh.
Jay Cutler, then we could just totally ignore them.
I think
like
we're
what
only
are their fans thinking because when you want to win,
I feel like they're going stop.
Right,
please,
exactly.
Don't
three
do,
in a row. Don't do
no.
that.
No, can y'all calm down? It's kind of the they're in a. I mentioned yesterday talking about the Arizona Cardinals when we were talking about them. It's like you know to play with the song thing. It was don't stop thinking about
right.
tomorrow. You got a team made up of you know Hall of Fame guys. But they're a lot closer to the Hall of Fame than they are the beginning of their career.
Right.
So what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do when Carson Palmer retires? Blaine Gabbert, that's your guy? Okay. Let's talk about
good luck.
Yeah, let's talk to the San Francisco 49ers about how that works. Or let's talk to some of these teams who don't have quarterback plans about how that works when you go into a season just hoping a guy like Blaine Gabbert can be your quarterback.
Right.
It's the same situation, I think, with the New York Jets, except the Jets weren't supposed to be good this year.
Yeah.
We thought the Jets were going to be 0-5 at this point.
Right.
We thought the Jets would we, as in you and I, thought the Jets were going to steal a win. We didn't think they were going to go 0-16. But I don't think we thought they were going to win three of their we didn't think they were going to win three of their first five games, and three was probably closer to the total number of games they were going to win on the season.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a Jets fan, I'm like, okay, this is cute. It really is. But what the hell are we going to do next year?
Yeah.
Because are you going to really march out? Who's out there right now? It's not Hackenberg.
Oh, no, it's McCown.
McCown.
Yeah.
We're going. Isn't McCown like 40?
At least. Maybe like, older.
Are we going that route again?
No, they can't. This was like a bridge. Just get us through this season. We're not going to be very good. We're going to have our next quarterback drafted because we're not going to win games. Now they're winning more than they expected. They win against Miami. They beat Jacksonville. Beating Cleveland, someone had to win that game. They got that one. But three wins.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly, someone had to win. This text here, I'm a Titans fan who texted you guys before the year and said, Castle is terrible, wanted them to sign Colin Kaepernick bad. They didn't, and now they are screwing up their chances to win the division. I hate Matt Castle. Oh, hate's a strong word. You hate Matt Castle, the football player. I'm sure Matt Castle is a very nice individual, but he's just not a good quarterback.
Nope.
But he keeps getting chances. Brandon Whedon keeps getting chances. We have this discussion year after year whether there is a talented unemployed quarterback or not. We have the conversation. It was big for us last year because we were talking about the Dallas Cowboys situation the year before when Tony Romo went out. And that Dallas Cowboy team was every NFL team this year that is playing without a quarterback. Last year, they fell into Dak Prescott, which is, I think there were three quarterbacks that they wanted besides Dak. They wanted Paxton Lynch. There's at least one.
They wanted Connor Cook.
Connor Cook.
Yeah.
That was the other one. I remember the day after the draft, I asked you the question, did the Raiders take Connor Cook just to keep him, just to screw with Jerry?
Yeah.
That was the other guy that they wanted. Jerry Jones, the day after the draft, was like, man, we should have worked harder to make that deal to get Paxton Lynch. They literally fell into Dak Prescott.
It wasn't their quarterback of the future.
Right. It wasn't some brilliant GM move. It was they just fell into it. These teams aren't falling into quarterbacks anymore. I know Josh Rosen. I know Sam Darnold. I guess Lamar Jackson. We don't hear a lot of conversations about him in the upcoming draft, but there's going to be a shortage again, as there is year after year after, because guess who else is in the market for a quarterback? Again, one of the teams that's 0-5. They just named a new starter, some guy named Kevin freaking Hogan, brother. I don't know if he's related to Hulk or Chris. I don't know. It's baffling.
Yeah.
It's baffling. Let's go to the AFC West here, Jay Ross, as we wrap up our one small thought. There's only one small thought to have on the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's quite simple. MVP.
Alex Smith.
Your guy. Your favorite player on the planet Earth, who just 6 short weeks ago, you hated. Alex Smith right now is on pace for 35 touchdown passes and more than 4,400 yards. Both of those would shatter his personal season best of 23 yards and 3,500 yards. Last year, he had one 300-yard game. It was the first game of the season. This season, he's already had two and a 293-yard game. 11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Last season, 15 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. On the year, last season at this time, 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Again, 11-0. One turnover for the Kansas City Chiefs offense all year, and it was the first play of the season when Kareem Hunt fumbled the ball.
Yeah.
They haven't turned the ball over since then. The Denver Broncos stick with the run game, but get some caffeine at halftime. It's my one small thought, and I'll tell you why. By the way, they got the winless Giants coming up. The Broncos have won 5 straight games against the NFC East, including that victory over the Dallas Cowboys earlier in the year. The Broncos were 28th in the league in rushing last year. So far this year, they're number 3. They're averaging 143 yards per game. The problem is They've scored just 7 points in the fourth quarter. That's all the games combined. 7 points in the fourth quarter. Just to give you something to compare that to, the Kansas City Chiefs, they've scored 73. So that's a pretty big disparity. I don't know what happens at halftime, but they need a little bit of caffeine. For the San Diego, north of San Diego Chargers, I suppose they're Los Angeles, where you want a song theme? Were the real Chargers, please stand up? Mm-hmm. Melvin Gordon carried the ball 20 times for 105 yards, 72 yards coming after contact. That's according to Pro Football Focus here this past week. But the Chargers have only managed 270 rushing yards in their first four games. Melvin Ingram, Joey Bosa, they've got pieces that are really, really good. They've allowed four touchdown passes of 29 yards or more. That's worst in the league. So they have very good offensive players. They have a great running back, but they can't seem to muster up anything there. They have really, really good defensive players, including the reigning defending defensive rookie of the year. But they still give up more big plays than any other team in the entire league. I don't know who the hell these Chargers are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in every game. They somehow managed to muster up a win last week. For the Raiders, coaches, players, and fans, their palms are sweaty. Knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on the sweater already. Mom spaghetti. But on the surface, they look calm and ready. It's my thought on the Oakland Raiders because Raider fans are nervous. Raider coaches won't say it, but they're nervous. Raider players, they won't say it. But they are also nervous. I was really excited about John Pagano coming in as the defensive coordinator. I don't know that it's mattered at all. I don't know how this defense of the Oakland Raiders is any different than it was last year with Ken Norton at the helm. Or Ken Norton at the helm for part of it and then Jack Del Rio at the helm for the other part of it. Or whatever was going on with the structure of the Oakland Raiders coaching staff last year. The Raiders are tied right now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in allowing 20 pass plays of 40 yards or more since the start of last season. That's almost one 40-yard pass per game. That's dating all the way back. They were good last year. That's dating all the way back to last year. Raider fans, I know you're nervous. Raider coaches, players, I think they are as well. And you know, must wins, that's silly terms, but they need to beat the Chargers this weekend, particularly in Oakland. Will Graves of the Associated Press, he covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. He joins us next here on The Load. Will Graves works for the Associated Press, covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's going to join us here in just a heartbeat. I want to read you a message, Jason. Came through our Facebook page. We ask you, like us on Facebook. It's The Lowdown.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like Facebook, and I feel like no one likes Facebook anymore, like us on Facebook. It's a great and easy way to connect with us. This one came from Karen. She said, thanks, guys, for thinking about us. I'm in the Green Valley area. No evacuation notice yet, but we're packed and ready to go if needed. Many friends have been evacuated. Scary for them. Sad to see those who have lost homes, but lives are more important. Mm-hmm. Enjoying 1140 while trying to decide what's essential.
Well, be safe is all we can say. Man, that's scary.
Yeah, and thank you so much.
Thanks for reaching out.
Yeah, thanks for that message, Karen. Thank you so much for listening. Again, we really do appreciate everyone who is out there, and we're thinking about you. And I mean, the air is ugly here. I can't imagine what it's like as you get closer and closer to those fires. So, again, Karen, thanks for reaching out. We hope you and your family and friends and everybody out there in that area is safe. Will Graves, Associated Press reporter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Happy to have him here again on The Lowdown. Will, we hope you're safe because I was watching Ben Roethlisberger talk this morning, and it looks like some of you media guys, if you will, out in Pittsburgh kind of got under his skin.
Yeah, me being one of them, which – I'll admit I kind of enjoy in my old age. But, I mean, look, this is an action I'm writing about it today. I mean, this is a team every week. Last 3 or 4 weeks we'd come in and spent the week talking about something other than football. I mean, 2 weeks ago it was the anthem thing with Alejandro Villanueva standing out there by himself and the rest of the team in the huddle. Last week it was Antonio Brown hitting a water cooler and Roethlisberger calling him out about it. I mean, this week it's Ben saying sarcastically, wondering whether he still had it after postgame. And then even though I was standing 3 feet from him when he said it, I knew he was kidding. I wrote that he was kidding. But, you know, not everybody who's around him all the time gets it, and now he's got to explain himself for 3 days. So I think what we got here is a combination of a team that's tired of having to talk about stuff that's happening off the field, and reporters tired of asking stuff about stuff that's going off the field. And, you know, if they were winning, we probably wouldn't be talking about this. So I think there's a lot of little frustrations that have bubbled up a little bit.
Yeah,
here in Pittsburgh.
And going back to the one last week, Will, with Antonio Brown, that star player, star quarterback, kind of calling him out after he has, as Ben said, a tantrum, throwing the cooler. So we see that and hear that. Is there something there between these two? Did they settle that? And we know he got a ton of targets and catches, but are those two guys okay going forward?
If the team wins, I think they have to be. And it's just one of those things where, I'll be honest with you, I mean, what Antonio did hitting that cooler is not out of character for him. And Ben knows it's not out of character for him. And if he had just let it go or said, hey, I talked to him privately and that's it, it wouldn't have become a thing. I mean, you'll notice when they played last week, the first play from scrimmage was a 45-yard pass down the sidelines to Brown that was sort of seemed to be their way of saying, hey, we're past this stuff. And we are for now. And we'll see, you know, if in a month they have a game where Brown gets two receptions for 22 yards and Martavis Bryant gets 10 for 185 and a touchdown, AB might have something to say. I mean, it's telling that a couple weeks ago, you know, Brian is having a slow return from his suspension. Juju Smith-Schuster, their rookie wide receiver, is kind of hit and miss. They're not getting a lot out of the tight end position. Bell has been rusty, you know, and we asked AB, hey, are you doing anything to kind of help these other guys get going? And his response was, I'm always open for business. So, which was his way of saying those guys are going to have to fend for themselves a little bit. So, I mean, it's just the dynamic here is weird. There are a lot of agendas that have to be met. I mean, you've got Le'Veon Bell playing under a franchise tag. If his numbers drop off significantly, it's costing him money. Brown is the highest paid receiver in football and wants to be paid like it. You got a quarterback who's in the twilight of his career and you know, has the worst day of his career. And so it leads to speculation on whether he is still the elite quarterback that he was. I mean, it's weird. You know, a month ago we're talking about, hey, this team 14-2 chance to home field throughout the playoffs, and which was their goal. And now you're like, ooh, I mean, it could go either way over the next month or so.
Will Graves covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for the Associated Press with us here on the Lowdown. And Will, you know, kind of lost in Ben Roethlisberger's maybe I don't have it anymore and all of the things that came about from his radio show and your media scrum today. Lost in all of that was Le'Veon Bell saying, hey, we should have run the ball more.
Well, yeah, I mean, and look, he's got a lot at stake here financially, and he's got a point. I mean, you know, we can talk about all we want about play selection as a big train goes behind me here outside the team headquarters. You'll forgive me if I get run out for a second. But, you know, when Ben threw the first of his two pick sixes on Sunday, at that time, and they were up 9-7 mid-third quarter, they had thrown the ball 31 times and passed it 12 against a team that came in with the number one pass defense and the number 32 run defense, so the worst run defense in the league. Now, they had had mixed success. You know, they had some negative runs and a couple of 10-yarders, so it wasn't like they were getting massive push. But Le'Veon kind of does have a point, especially when you look at the week before against Baltimore, where he had, 35 touches for 186 total yards, including, you know, a 6-yard touchdown run where they tried to pound it in from the goal line. Whereas on Sunday, opening second half, they throw 10 out of 11 plays. They get to the 5, and they throw 3 passes from the 5. So, I mean, Le'Veon sort of does have a point. You know, to me, I think what this team needs to do is kind of what it did at the end of last year when it got it going. It stopped trying to think, hey, we need to score 30 points a game. We need to have Ben pass for 5,000 yards and Antonio Brown finish with 2,000 yards receiving, and just give it to Bell and let him do his and rely on the offensive line and a defense that is improving, and let them do their thing. I mean, that's what they did when they won 9 straight to reach the AFC title game, and I think that's what they kind of need to get to at this point if they want to get where they need to be.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen them for five games. We all think they have a lot of potential there with the improved defense that you mentioned, the offense that, if it's clicking, is as good as any in the NFL. And then we also see them play like they did this week against Jacksonville, the loss to the Bears. What's the closer version to this team, that team that, you know, handled the Ravens and Vikings, or what we saw the last 2 weeks or the last week?
I mean, it's this sort of fits a pattern that we've had. In fact, I literally just 5 minutes ago was writing this for the story I'm writing today. I mean, you know, we had in 2014, they were 3-3 after six games, and then they got it going and finished 11-5 and won the division. In 15, they were 6-5 after 11 games and won 4-5 to get to the playoffs and reach the divisional round. Last year, they dropped five straight in October. They lose to the Cowboys in a great game. They're 4-5. They're in serious trouble. They win nine straight. So, I mean, and this is the year they were supposed to be mature enough to avoid those sort of missteps because losses to bad teams early. Obviously, they haven't gotten to that point. I had Ryan Shazier tell me about an hour ago, I think we need to grow up a little, and I think the time to do it is now. So I'm not going to write them off, but, you know, this is a team that believes it has Super Bowl talent. The only way, though, you know, each of those last three seasons have ended on the road in the playoffs. So their best path forward, if they want to get to the Super Bowl for a roster that probably is good enough to get there, is to play at Heinz Field. And they are running out of wiggle room quick, and they got a difficult part of their schedule coming up. I mean, they still got to play Green Bay. They've got New England later this year. They got to go to Detroit. You know, they're maybe the team that's playing the best in the league right now in Kansas City, the last unbeaten team. So they're running out of wiggle room. I mean, I think this is almost – if they lose to the Chiefs, I don't think they're out of, you know, the winning the division, because I think the division is bad. They should win the division almost by default. But I think home field, which is what they said they've needed, I think if they lose to the Chiefs, I think that's gone.
Well, we'll stay in the conference just here for a quick second. Do you have any idea who the hell Kevin Hogan is?
Is that the guy the Browns picked up on? It is a revolving door up there. You know, it's weird. Like in week one when they played the Steelers, and Kaiser looked pretty good, and the Steelers only won by a field goal and weren't really clicking. And the Steelers came away talking about, hey, man, those guys are going to be better. And a month later, yeah, maybe not. It is sort of baffling. I mean, if you're trying to build a program, I mean, as long as Kaiser is healthy and he's not in danger in the terms of, like, can you protect him, you have to stay with him. I mean, how do you build around a rookie if you keep pulling him back? It's sort of baffling. I mean, Hugh Jackson has a lot of respect around the league as an offensive guru, a guy who knows how to develop quarterbacks. And, I mean, look at the roster. They went through, what, three or four last year, RG3 and one of the McCowns and – whoever the heck else was in the mix there. Now they're already on the 25th quarterback since 1999, since they came back. I mean, that's just insane. I mean, that's hard to do. That's really, really hard to do. So
maybe we're approaching this wrong, and they should be commended for it. We're approaching this wrong. Will just said it's really hard to do. We should show them some love for accomplishing something so difficult.
I mean, it's and you feel bad. I mean, look at the and it's weird. I mean, the rest of Cleveland sports seems to be doing just fine. I mean, the Cavs have LeBron. They got a title. The Indians,
right there,
look like they're the best team in baseball. I mean, I think if they can sort of survive this game five tonight, I think they're going to win the World Series. I think they're easily better than the Astros. And the Browns are just this thing. They can't. It's almost like the Indians and the Cavs are sort of like God's way of making good for the Browns. I mean, that's almost the way it seems. And it's a good distraction because it is sort of, I mean, you know, if I own that team, I'd be baffled as to why they can't seem to get out of their own way.
Well, we appreciate you, my friend, as always. Stay out of trouble, all right?
All right, no problem, guys. See you.
All right, thanks. That's Will Graves, Associated Press reporter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's 1:44 right now, time to celebrate the one-year anniversary of the Golden One Center. Great events now through October 15th, including King's Fan Fest. Get details at goldenonecenter.com/anniversary. Cool story coming out of the Bay Area right now. We'll share that with you when we get back here on The Lowdown. It's 1:48, time to celebrate the one-year anniversary of the Golden One Center. Great events now through October 15th, including King's Fan Fest. Get details at goldenonecenter.com/anniversary. Coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, Jerry Jones continues to be all class. Mm-hmm. And this actually doesn't have to do with his stance on the national anthem. And apparently The players met today with coaches and then without Jerry. And now Jerry's going to have to meet with the players. We had a very civilized conversation regarding this topic yesterday. It's worth bringing back a couple of points, especially with the Cowboys meeting today, how this whole thing could have been handled a lot better and why a lot more people than even the staunchest supporter, like myself, mm-hmm. want this to be over with.
Right.
But this other Jerry Jones story, it's just, you look at it like you've got to be kidding me with all that's going on in the NFL, not related to the national anthem. You got this story, and we'll give that to you at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Isaiah Thomas, Lee Jenkins of Sports Illustrated did a tremendous piece, as he always does on Isaiah Thomas. We'll let you know some of the marquee quotes that came out of that. Did want to bring this story to your attention. It's not really a story. It's unfair to categorize it as that. But as we were talking to Will there, Will Graves of the Associated Press a few moments ago, and if you missed that, subscribe to the Lowdown Podcast on iTunes. You can catch everything that we talked about today, including that interview we just had with Will. We've tried to show our love to the Bay Area, Butte County, all of those different areas affected by the fires that are going on right now. And the Golden State Warriors, along with every Bay Area team, the Oakland A's, Raiders, 49ers, Giants, the Sharks, and the Earthquakes, they've all gotten together, and they're going to donate $450,000 to support North Bay fire relief efforts. So nice. Good stories coming out of good stories coming out of the Bay Area. Now, we were joking a few minutes ago. I love that you ask a guy who covers the Steelers, who essentially works inside the AFC North division, do you know who the hell Kevin Hogan is? And his response starts with, isn't that the guy that?
Yeah.
It's like that's where we're at now, right, with Cleveland Browns quarterbacks. There, he asked if it was the 25th. It is actually the 28th starting quarterback since 1999. It all started way back then. They were an expansion team at the time. With Tim Couch.
Okay.
Ty Detmer. Doug Peterson. Yes, that Doug Peterson. Then they brought back Tim Couch. Spurgeon Wayne?
Oh, Spurgeon Wynn.
Spurgeon Wynn?
Yeah.
Why did you get excited? Who the hell is that guy?
Just because that's an awesome name.
Spurgeon Wynn. Does anybody have that jersey somewhere?
No, they don't win.
Tim Couch came back for 16 games. I see what you did there. I see. Well done. Kelly Holcomb? Jeff Garcia?
That Jeff Garcia?
No, not even. How about this? In 2004, Luke McCown quarterbacked for the Cleveland Browns. I'm losing track. This is a long list. Then they brought back, then they got Trent Dilfer, Charlie Fry,
mm-hmm.
Derek Anderson, Brady Quinn, Notre Dame.
Wasn't Seneca Wallace in there?
Let's see. You're jumping ahead, Jason.
Oh, sorry,
calm
that
down.
Far. Yeah.
Ken Dorsey, oof. Bruce Gradkowski. That's is that the kicker?
No, that's former Raider great.
Great, Jason.
Great.
Great.
Yeah.
The Brady Quinn comes back for a couple. Derek Anderson comes back. The pride of the University of Texas, Colt McCoy.
Yeah.
Jake Delhomme and your boy, Cordova's own. I believe the cousin of one Kenneth Aloysius Rudolph, Seneca Wallace.
Okay.
And then Colt McCoy comes back again. Then Seneca Wallace comes back again. And then the era of Brandon Whedon.
That was a fun.
Is there
few
any
months.
Curiosity why this hasn't worked out? Brandon Whedon, Thad Lewis, Jason Campbell, Brian Hoyer, Johnny Manziel, Connor Shaw, Josh McCown, Johnny Manziel again, Austin Effin Davis, Robert Griffin III, Josh McCown again, Cody Kessler, Deshaun Kaiser, and now your boy, the real American, one Kevin Hulk Hogan.
Wow, Stanford's finest right there.
That is
rough.
Can you listen to that list and just like?
So what's with Kaiser? You draft him? You say you're starting him?
Jason, clearly it has not worked out.
Yeah.
We've made that determination already.
And Brock Osweiler wasn't good enough for any of that. I don't know if he is either, but
good Lord. That is a anybody think it's going to get better?
Nope.
You could always have it worse. It's the way you always look at it. You know what? We're not the. I know Raider fans are panicked by some of these text messages we got when we were doing One Small Thought. You could always be the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, but what do they say?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know. We'll come back. Third and final hour of the Lowdown begins next here on Sports 1140.